Our first reading from Acts chapter 16 tells us just a small part of the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. Having partnered with Silas, Paul and his teammate travel from Antioch throughout Cilicia, ministering to the churches there, and eventually they pick up Timothy in Lystra. When they reach Troas, Paul experiences this disturbing dream. A man of Macedonia was standing there pleading with Paul, "Come now over to Macedonia and help us." So Paul goes. He and his companions cross the Aegean Sea, set foot in Europe for the first time with the gospel, and follow the Spirit's lead to this little riverside prayer gathering in Philippi. There were no synagogues in that city, just a few God-fearing women. But the Holy Spirit was already hard at work. Among the women is Lydia, the wealthy businesswoman from Thyatira. She dealt in purple cloth. Luke tells us the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And if you know Paul, he's preaching Christ crucified, Christ risen, Christ reigning in heaven, the Savior for her and for all. And what happens next? Lydia is baptized, she and her whole household. Lydia's conversion was not a result of Paul's eloquent speech. It wasn't a result of Lydia's spiritual effort. It began with the work of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says that the Lord opened her heart. That's baptism in a nutshell. It always begins with God's work. God acts first, opening the heart. He comes to us through the water and the word. He finds us, he calls us, he washes us, and he gives us a name, his own. And today we saw this truth with our very own eyes. Little John Beckett Mendocino did not come to the waters of baptism because he has figured this all out, that he has figured the gospel out, or that he has made a decision. He came because God is acting through his parents, because Jesus wants little John as his own. The same Jesus who said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God," reached out in his mercy, reached out in his love to little John this morning. This was not a symbol. This was a miracle, a washing of rebirth and renewal, a joining with Jesus in his death and resurrection. As a child who cannot yet speak, he received the name above all names, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, John became part of something far bigger than himself. He was joined to Christ and through Christ to the whole body of believers here and throughout the world. And just as Lydia's baptism led her to open her home to the apostles, so too John's family, mom, dad, brothers, grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa, aunts, uncles, cousins, are all opening their heart and their lives to raise him in the best way they know how. This includes teaching him to pray, bringing him to worship, reading the scriptures with him, and reminding him daily of what God has done for him in his baptism. This is of the utmost importance. There is no greater responsibility as a family. Stone and Cassie, Mindy and Dre, you received an even greater and sacred trust. God has placed John into his covenant of grace, and he has given you the joyful and serious task of raising little John in the knowledge and in the love of the Lord. This means bringing him faithfully to the services of God's house, as you promised earlier, teaching him the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, placing his hand in his hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurturing him towards his confirmation and his lifelong confession in Christ. What a serious and daunting task that you face. And there is nothing more important. The world and the devil will try to steal him away. But you are not alone in this. God's Spirit will strengthen you, and the church will walk beside you. But your role is essential. What has begun here at the font today continues daily in your home with prayers, the scriptures, and your witness of a life lived in Christ. Your words and example will shape how John understands what it means to belong to our Savior, Jesus Christ. So walk with him, pray with him, and trust in the promises that God has made today, promises which never fail. It has been said that the waters of baptism are not a pond for keeping Christians stagnant. They are a mighty river flowing with purpose. It was no coincidence that Lydia met Paul by the river. Baptism itself is like a river that flows from the cross and the empty tomb to the world, from Jerusalem to Macedonia to Murfreesboro, and now today to little John Beckett Mendocino. It is part of that great stream of faith, the unbroken flood of God's grace that begins with the apostles and continues through every generation. Congregation, you and I were also met by this river, this living water in baptism. It washed us clean, gave us the Holy Spirit, and now sends us out. John is just beginning his journey, but the same calling that rests on us will also rest on him, to live as a child of God, to grow in Christ, and one day to confess him before the world. In the gospel reading today, Jesus says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's a promise that John needs to grasp firmly. That's a promise that we all need to grasp firmly. Baptism doesn't remove all our troubles, but it does seal us with a Savior who has overcome the world. And it gives John and all the baptized a hope that cannot be taken, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and a future that leads to the heavenly Jerusalem, where we will see God face to face. Today, God has claimed John Beckett Mendocino as his own. He has written his name upon his forehead. And just like Lydia, he is now part of the church, part of its mission, part of its joy. So let us rejoice together in our baptismal waters that give life. And let us remember our own baptism. And let us walk together, children of the Heavenly Father, redeemed by the Son, and united by the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.